Okay? Now, I want you to tell each other what you think, okay, is what you find in the person next to you, okay, his or her strength as a caregiver or a comforter, as a counselor. Mm-hmm. So a while ago, your answer was what you need, okay? What you're weak at, then you want to be, you know, strengthened. Now this time, I want you to tell each other what you, because I think you are sitting with somebody you know, right?
Yeah.
Okay? Okay. Yeah. So this is your time to affirm that person, okay? What do you think in him or in her, okay, is his or her strong points as a caregiver? What do you see in that person is good, her strength? And then you write it down, okay? Please write it down, your positive. No, you tell the person and you write down what she told you. You write down what he told you, what he thinks is your strength, okay? This is the first question. This is not the second question. Second question is you tell each other what you think is his or her strength. You are not familiar with each other.
I'm from another.
Oh, I see. Who knows you here? Who knows you? Nobody? It's okay. Just maybe what you think is your strength. You're done? 很多吗? The list is long?
Yeah.
很多? That's good. Okay, so do you see yourself as somebody who can care for someone? Maybe you know your weaknesses, but do you know your strength? Okay, so you have to have both. Do you feel encouraged? Do you agree with what this person told you? Okay, you're gonna give me that sheet of paper later. Yeah, okay. And please write, if you agree with what this person told you, you put a check. If you don't agree, you put an X. Okay?
So share you one. Huh? About this one, right?
This one is the first, yeah. Your weakness. Yeah, the second one is what your friend told you is your strength. So there are two questions. Yeah, I didn't write it down. So yeah, the second one. Confused you, huh? Okay, are you singing now? Lord, be glorified in my life. Thank you for giving me the strength. Are you happy? I've already talked a little bit about the difference between biblical counseling and secular counseling, okay? There's another one probably you have heard. Of course, I didn't give you an exhaustive answer, okay? Just a little bit because we don't have really much time. But if you attend, if someday we can organize, okay, my desire is that to have a training, okay, for people who want to be counselors, okay? So probably today you can start thinking if you want to be part of that training, okay?
Training workshop or class?
Yes, part. Yeah, we. Did you just arrive?
No.
Sorry, I really thought. Were you here?
Yes.
Okay. Your question?
You say you have a training that is on top of this one?
Yes, yes. Okay, this is just an introduction. It's very short, and I'm just skimming through many things. Yeah, okay. And today we will not be talking about the different skills, okay, the training, practice, we cannot go into that. Okay, so give you like a bird's eye view. Okay, so I talk about a little bit about biblical counseling and secular counseling. Okay? And there's another one that probably you have heard is called Christian counseling. Okay, Christian counseling. Okay, there is a difference between Christian counseling and biblical counseling. Okay, in the Christian counseling, it might not be in the set. Of course, outside there you might say, oh, maybe it's just semantics, okay? But sometimes you will see that it is not, there's a real difference in that what makes it Christian and what makes it biblical is the definition of biblical counseling, okay? The biblical counseling is the attempt to build a counseling system that is from the Bible. You understand? Okay. And so that's what I've been doing. Okay. In my PhD, I did my dissertation is a case study on the principles of counseling used by Paul. Okay. So, you know, just to give you an idea, okay, what I mean by biblical counseling. Okay. Now, when it comes to Christian counseling, probably these are all secular theories, but then maybe this person is a Christian. The counselor is a Christian. Okay? So they might include some Christian stuff in it. Okay? I'm not saying that it's all from the demon. No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. But I just want you to see the difference. Okay? And why do I have to say that? Because I want to emphasize that I believe, okay, the Bible. I have a Bible here. Where's my Bible? Okay. Okay, so the Bible is actually the counsel of God. Okay? This is God's counseling. And I believe we can find principles in there. Okay? We just haven't done it. And about maybe 20 years ago, it was started by a person called J. Adams. And J. Adams have been criticized and many other things. Okay, and maybe some of those things might be true or false. But the one thing that has happened after that is that we have seen a lot more other people who see the importance of biblical counseling. You understand? Okay? So nobody is perfect, and we are still perfecting it. counseling or therapy, especially psychology, is like maybe already about a century, years old, you know, old. But biblical counseling, we're just starting. You understand? Yeah, because this has been like neglected. Okay? And we have done a lot of things with the Bible. We have studied the Bible. We have systematic theology. All these things. Okay? But then not counseling. And so what we are learning here is biblical counseling, which means we want to go to the Bible and learn from the Bible the principles that we can use. Okay, how the Lord wants to counsel us. You understand? Okay. So then, these are the biblical basic tenets, and I have maybe a lot, but I will not be giving it all to you. Okay? You're all gonna sleep, fall asleep. I will just choose about three. Okay? One of them is that it is Bible-based, as I said already. So, this is, a while ago, we have John 16:33. I gave you the second part. Now, this time, I gave you the first part of the verse. The first part of the verse says, the second part of the verse says, in this world you shall have? Yeah. But the first part says, these things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have? Yes. Peace. Peace is shalom in Greek, I mean in Hebrew, and in Greek it is Irene. Okay? If your name is Irene, that is peace. Anybody's Irene here? Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. So that's Greek, okay? Irene. Now it has many nuances. You see, in the Old Testament, shalom means what? Completeness and safety. Okay. So to use the Bible as our principle to guide us in our counseling, okay, what are we doing here? Okay. Jesus wants to give us peace. And this one is part of the plan of God. Okay? That the secret there is you're gonna just find completeness and safety, but it is what? That in me, okay, in me, you might have peace. Okay? So in biblical counseling, Jesus is in it. You understand? He's in it. You cannot just use a Bible verse here and there. That makes you a counseling Christian. You understand? If it is not with Jesus in it, it's not biblical. Okay. So then, let's see. What does peace mean? Peace has many nuances. It means completeness. And to be complete, it includes your body. Isn't it? Yeah. You're not just a spirit that floats. Right? Oh, if I have peace in my soul, then I'm peaceful. Okay. No. Just complete, including your body. And it might not mean that you are beautiful or you are 100% healthy, okay? But if you have peace with your body, you understand? Do you have peace with your body? Many people nowadays, they don't even want their sex, right? Their gender. They say, I'm a woman. I don't want to be a woman. I want to be a man. Okay? They don't have peace with their body, isn't it? Yeah. I don't want my color. I don't want the way I look. I'm so short. Okay? Their body. But you have peace with yourself. That includes your body. Who you are. Where you're born. I don't like to be a Chinese. No, I'm American. Okay? You don't have peace with yourself. Yeah. And I think this is part of it that we have to kind of go and examine. What does God mean by peace? Usually we just mean peace with God. Isn't it? Okay? That I become a Christian and I have peace with God. Okay? But that is not what peace is limited to. Everything. Okay? It includes you and yourself and you and your God. Okay? That's all part of it. There are some churches where they are taught to hate themselves. No, you shouldn't hate yourself. Okay? That is not what is peace in God. Okay? And then, peace with your neighbor. So you will have also peace with your neighbor. There was this, what do you call this, church leader. In that church, they are so spiritual. When they talk to each other, these two leaders, they face the wall. Yeah, sometimes we have a very imbalanced view of what it means to be spiritual. Okay? We don't have neighbors. It's like it's just you and God. I go to church. Doesn't matter. I'm just going for it because of God. I don't care. Even if you know you have many enemies in the church. Do you do that? Sometimes we do that, right? Yes. Okay? But that is not God's intention. Some, in churches, they just split up. Okay? As long as I go with God, it's okay. But God is concerned. God is concerned that we live peacefully also with our neighbors. Okay? This relational thing. And you will see that because of this, many people, if we don't have this, many people leave the church. And because of this, many people don't come to the church. Could be that, isn't it? Yeah. And we keep emphasizing peace with God. Okay? So they are all connected. It doesn't mean that if you do this, then you are not doing the gospel. This is part of it. It's part of it. Okay? So we grow in relationship. And that relationship is not just relationship with God, it's also relationship with your brothers and sisters. When I go to a church, one of the most difficult ministry for us to establish is the ministry of hospitality. Yeah. People would want to be ushers collecting money. But you ask them to be hospitality in our group, they don't want it. Okay, visitation, they don't want it. Okay, we are so scared of people. We're so scared of people. Okay, so we have to train ourselves not to be scared of people. Remember, I told you to touch. Okay, put your arm. Are you afraid to do that? Okay, maybe you have reasons. Okay, what are the reasons why you're afraid to do that? Or a person will be afraid to do that? What will be the reason?
Strangers.
Okay, what else?
Rejection.
What else?
Huh?
Culture. Sexual harassment. Okay. I grew up in the Philippines. You know, Philippines? In the Philippines, it's a very touchy culture. Touch is very common. Yeah. You will even see men walking together hand in hand. And they're friends only. It's common. Yeah. Alice, can you stand up? Okay, Alice, over here. She's so afraid of me. Peace. When you talk to Alice, how do you talk to her? Like this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, this is what they call, what do you call this?
Distance.
Huh? Comfort distance, safe distance, right? Oh, in the Philippines, we do this. When we're talking, we do this. It's so common. Okay, let's sit down. Yeah. So, peace. Yes?
The way you demonstrate how to be close to people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I feel sometimes difficult to do it. Mm. Because, like we just mentioned, we feel rejection, mm-hmm. we kind of stranger. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, maybe the people are afraid you to touch.
That's great.
Okay, mm-hmm. if we, you know, insist to mm-hmm. do it, they will mm-hmm. scare people.
Yeah. So then, just to let you see that, you know, this is not the only way to do it. There are other people that do it this way. In Iran, they kiss each other. You know, that's how they greet each other, with a kiss. And in the Bible, Paul said, greet each other with a kiss, right? It's in the Bible, right? That's correct. That's what I'm showing you, that there is this range of culture. So, it depends, you see, what kind of culture you want to build in your church. You have the freedom. Okay, you have the freedom. The bottom line is we have like more reasons not to do it than to do it. Okay? And it's very important that we, in the peace that we develop, that as we grow, okay, we break down these barriers. Cultural barrier is one of them. Okay, cultural barrier. And with this sexual harassment thing coming, okay, the more we don't want to touch, isn't it? But then it's just kind of like stealing these good things from us. Okay, and you decide. You can decide. Will you let the thief steal it? You decide. Do you understand? Yes. The church should lead, not to be led by the secular world. Yes. Okay? So what you can do, what's a safe thing to do? So you can be wise in how you implement it. Okay? But even if you don't, this kind of, you know, even among what you call this, among family members, do they touch each other? Does your mother hug you? Do you hug your brother? Do you kiss your sister? Okay? So this kind of thing where we build in order to lessen the distance between people or peace, right? And so in counseling, we do one-on-one, okay? So I'm not saying that you just ignore all of these things, okay? Be sensitive, but then you also know, okay? Make a decision about what kind of impact it is going to do in your fellowship, in your church, okay? We have to be careful. Peace with life itself, your life, okay? Are you at peace with your life, with your lot, okay? I am childless, okay? Some people are childless, okay? But you have peace with your life. Some people, have too many siblings. Mm-hmm. They have too many problems. Mm-hmm. Some people, their families are separated, things like that. So different life, okay? So this is shalom, it's very wide, but this is what God is going to give it to us. The message and the messenger of peace, you know, the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. So Jesus is in it, okay? And he is the one that brings the peace. So we know Jesus, you know peace. I'm going to go fast a little bit. And then he destroys the middle wall of partition through the cross by which the hostility has been killed. Okay. I was once in a church, and I noticed that there is this young person who is always sitting by herself. And she would not be in eye contact with anybody. She's just so very quiet. And I can tell just by looking that it's like she's not comfortable. She's like she is not happy to be there. It's like she's just going there. It seems as if, okay, just going there for because she has to. Something like that, you know. Maybe you have seen some people like that too. Okay, but I don't really know. This is just an impression. Okay? Cannot decide which one is it. But then I talked to the worker or the minister of the church, and I was just told that yes. And they will just like to wait until she comes to them for help. But they would not want to go to her. Okay? So that sometimes is the problem in the church. Okay? Well, how you balance between do you go to them or do you wait for them to come to you? Mm-hmm. And so Jesus, he came to destroy that wall. Okay? And in terms of caring, mm-hmm. And there are times when we have to go. Okay. We cannot, and I think that girl, she left the church. Yeah, she left the church. See. Sometimes we are afraid. Okay, we are afraid that this person might not be willing to. Okay. So those are risks that we have to take, and we get some training on how to deal with that. Okay. So that's number one, that the Bible, biblical counseling, it is Bible-based, okay? And we can do it with confidence because Jesus has said that he will give us his peace. Okay? And when we talk about peace, okay, we already gave you the four breakdowns of what we mean, okay? Not just peace with God. Sometimes you might have a non-Christian come to you, or you are helping a non-Christian, okay? Maybe this person's problem has a problem with the acceptance of his life situation, okay? He also needs to meet that peace, okay? Not just peace with God, you understand? So it's that the only thing that you can talk about is about the gospel. Okay? Because those four are connected. Okay? And sometimes, by introducing them to the peace in life, they might come to God, because then they will taste it and then they come to God, okay? And probably some of you also came to know the Lord through that. Okay, so the second one in biblical counseling is that we believe in change. We believe people can change. Okay? No matter what, okay, as long as it is not in God's plan, in God's will, you can change. Okay? In secular counseling, they would not want you to change anything. In fact, if to change, it's like you are imposing yourself on them. And you are using your, as a counselor, you're using your own values and telling them what's right and what's wrong. Mm-hmm. But you don't find that in biblical counseling. Okay? In biblical counseling, a counselor actually is like leading the way. Mm-hmm. You don't force, okay, but you still lead. Okay? And that's how you comfort too. Okay? And so it says that in 2 Corinthians 3:18, when we who are with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. So this is God transforming us. And the emphasis is where? Change in what area? Yeah. Okay. A heart change. Okay. We do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Okay. And that is the priority of change. That it is from the inside out. Okay. When you are helping someone, you might see that there are some things that you are trying to help, but if you are not touching the heart, if you're not touching the heart, there's a big possibility that that problem will keep coming back. It will keep coming back because you are only treating the symptom. You are not treating the root. Okay? So we will be renewed. And do you know what that tree is? Do you know that? Fig tree? A fig tree. Okay? Yeah. The dead fig tree will blossom again. Okay? Yeah, it's in the Bible. Okay? And that is our message in change. How serious are we in the, if you use biblical counseling, how serious are we that a person can change? Even the dead can come to life again. That's how serious it is. Okay. The third one is language. When we use biblical counseling, we are touching on something that is spiritual. Mm-hmm. It says here, and we speak about these things not with words taught us by human wisdom, but with those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. Okay. So, when I'm doing my research, I noticed this as a very important ingredient. In biblical counseling, okay, is that we come back to the Word of God, and we even use the Word of God. Okay, and what is the reason? It's because you explain spiritual things to spiritual people using the words of the Spirit. See my point? Mm-hmm. Let's take, for example, the word addiction. Do you find it in the Bible? No. So, what do we do? How do you help a person who is addicted?
Explain the Bible verse. There's a Bible verse that do not be mastered by them. You can do, you know, you have the right to do all things, but do not be mastered by it. Master means addiction, being controlled.
Okay, all right. So then, when you come back to the Bible, you will see addiction, you go into the deep, the root, you will see there's a matter of what? Control. You understand? Okay? Addiction is a matter of control. Okay. And even if you read books on addiction, you will find that too. Okay. And that is in the Bible. Okay? So, as I said, the Bible, it gives us the basic. Okay. We might dress it up and call it different names. Okay. But if we only know these names, we will not find the Bible useful. Because you will not know where it is in the Bible. You get it? Yeah. And so you cannot use the Bible to help this person. So there are many, many things that has to do with this thing. It's the language is important. And that's why in 2 Timothy 3:16, it also says that the Bible is what? Inspired by God. And when we say it is inspired by God, we don't mean that just the teaching is inspired by God. We mean even the words is chosen by God. Okay? Those words are chosen by God for a reason. Okay? God didn't just use the word, for example, control, because, well, it's a good word to use. No. There's a meaning in it, and God wants to emphasize. Okay? And so, biblical counseling, we would like to learn that too. Okay? You go back, and you find the root, and you will find it in the Bible, and that's how. Why is it that important? Because the person you are ministering to, the real problem resides in the spirit. And you can only reach the spirit when what? You will use words not taught by human wisdom, but words that are taught by the spirit. Okay? So that you can explain spiritual things to spiritual people. Because you are feeding spiritual souls. You get me? You understand? Mm-hmm. Yes?
How do you feed spiritual thoughts to somebody who doesn't believe spirituality or spirit, or Christian?
Yeah.
How do you?
That's a good question. Okay? Whether he believes or not, he has a soul. Okay? You can still feed the person that thing. Okay? Because the more you use non-spiritual things, the more it will not reach his soul. Okay? Because that's not what he is. He is, at his very, very core, he has a spirit. Get it? So, we use the word of God. Okay, but you have to know how to use it. Okay, it's very powerful. Okay, another one is forgiveness. Let's say forgiveness has been used in even in politics, in government policies, as they try to, let's say, solve problems between countries. Okay, have you heard of these things, like what they did in the African nations, okay? But they have a different spin to it. They give forgiveness a different meaning that is not the biblical meaning. Okay? So that's another thing, that the word is in the Bible. Okay? Unlike addiction is not in the Bible. Forgiveness is in the Bible. But they're using it in a different sense. All right? So that's another thing that we have to learn, that you have to know, that even if you use the Word of God, a text, a verse, you're using it the way the Bible wants it to be used. Okay? So when you talk about forgiveness, what do you mean by forgiveness? Huh? As the Bible teaches. Okay, any question about this? So then, in counseling, you have the counselor, you have the counselee, and then you have some methods. Okay. Okay. These three are the, you may say, major components when you are in a counseling situation. Okay. And probably the success of your counseling will depend on 1/3 of each. Okay. Some people, they just depend on methods. Okay. Actually, method is maybe only about one third. Mm-hmm. So you, as the counselor, is a major ingredient too. Okay. But of course, the other person's cooperation, interest, okay, commitment of the counselee is also a factor. Okay. So you have this. Okay. And then today, as I said, we cannot go into the methods because that one will take a long time to, you know, for training. But as a counselor, how you prepare, you have your spiritual life, you have your training, and then you practice it. Mm. And so in your spiritual life, that will be your relationship with God. Mm. Are you walking with God? Do you know how to depend on the Holy Spirit's power? Okay. And do you believe in the Bible? Mm. There are already Christians who don't believe that much. It's like the Bible, yes, they believe, but it's not that authoritative. Okay. They think the Bible has the Word of God, but it's not the Word of God. Okay. Or they say that the Bible's explanation of this word, it has changed throughout the years. Okay. So that is very important, you know, because that you bring that in when you are counseling. Okay? And from this the first part up to now, we see this Word of God keep coming up. Okay? In fact, we say that our counseling makes it biblical because it's based on the Bible. Mm-hmm. A caregiver or a counselor is a learner of God's Word. Okay. That is very important preparation, as you can see already. Okay. In fact, the very first couple, Adam and Eve, when they fell, okay, what happened? What happened? What went wrong?
They blame.
Huh?
They blame.
Okay, that is the result. So what happened before they blame each other? Huh? Why did they fall? So that they have to blame each other when God came. Yes? They doubted God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they doubted God. And they doubted, yeah, the intention of God. They doubted what God said. They were deceived. Okay? They were deceived. Yeah. So, of course, a counselor does many things. But one of the key things is that you have the truth. You have the Word of God.
You have the truth.
Yeah, you have the truth. Mm-hmm. You're not deceived. Okay. You heard of blind leading the blind? You don't want to be the blind leading the blind. Okay. You can go some distance, but what? That's about it. Okay. So you are a learner of God's Word. Okay, so that's why we say we have to come back to biblical counseling, because, okay, it seems as if we have brought in so many things into the church that's not biblical. Mm. So we have to go back to the Bible. Okay, thy testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Okay, be counseled by the Word of God, and then you can counsel others. Be comforted by the Word of God, and then you can comfort others. So my soul cleaves to the dust, revive me. Be comforted by your word, okay, according to thy word. And then remove the false ways from me, that I am not going to be a blind counselor. So graciously grant me thy law. Okay, it says here, by wisdom a house is built. Built here means that it is restored. You are going to restore the person that you are helping. And by understanding, it is established. Establishment, you want to put it back in order. Okay? A life that is very, you may say, broken, okay, weakened, okay, sidetracked, you want it to be put back in order. And that is actually the meaning of peace. okay, that it is complete and it is once again safe. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled, okay, meaning it is satisfied, it is completed, okay, with all the precious and pleasant riches. And the meaning of precious and pleasant riches is not the material things, but it's referring to a life where you found peace, okay, where you find satisfaction and you find fulfillment and maturity. Okay? Now, a wise warrior is strong, and a man of knowledge makes his strength stronger, for with guidance you wage your war. And that, do you see the counselor there? Who? Who is the counselor there? Huh? Okay. Do you know that the word comforter in John chapter 14 and chapter 15, okay, where he says the paraclete, God will send you a comforter, right? That word has another meaning to it. It means a defender. Okay? You are at war. Yeah, and we are at war. There's so many things that are trying to destroy the person who is in front of you, right? Probably he's also destroying his own life. Probably he's also deceived. Okay? And you as a counselor is there to help. Okay? And you're waging war. Unseen war. Wars inside, wars outside. Okay? Okay? And so, for with guidance you wage war, and with numerous advisors, there is a victory. Okay? And we hope that, yes, you can be, that you are doing carrying not just by yourself, but there's a group of people like you. So it's very good to do it as a group. Okay? That you can build a church, not just caring people, but a caring body. It's a whole body. Okay? And I think that is God's plan, right? That it is the whole church. So I would say there are at least four levels of care. Okay. Okay, let me write it down. Okay. You have abiding, okay, support, then you have exhortation, and the last one is healing. Okay. And notice that all of them are words that you find in the Bible. Okay? So, four levels of caring that we do in the church. A person, we want him to be part of the tree, Jesus. Okay, so he says, you abide in me. Okay? And then we give them support. Okay? That's a second level. So where you attend to people who are weak and they need support. They're, aside from, you know, daily feeding in the Word of God, okay, they need more support. And there are some people who are not just, you know, like in support, probably you send a text, then in a book, okay, you go out for a walk, okay, you visit. But there are some people who need more exhortation, okay, they need more teaching, okay. And there are, and then there are others who need even more, and that you go to healing. So do you see that? Okay? It's a different level of needs of body caring. And probably from here, you might just, is this one you can do in a group, probably? Okay, but here as you go down, it becomes what? One-on-one. Okay? Or smaller group as you heal that person. And you have to learn more skills to do that. Okay? So caring for one another's burden, caregiving is a teamwork. It's a teamwork. So you have your Bible, open it to Romans 12, 7 to 21, and 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11. Okay? What are the gifts there that can be used in this? Okay, you can shout it out. So, anything? Love. What are the, pardon?
Love.
Love, okay. Are you talking about his? Yes? Mm-hmm. What about this? Support? Can you use the gift of love? Which passage are you looking at?
Romans 12:7.
Okay.
What is
this?
In Romans, right? Teaching.
Teaching, yes. Okay. What else?
Encouraging or support.
Support? Uh-huh. What else?
Hospitality.
Serving is also support.
Serving?
Serving is support.
Mm-hmm.
And exhortation is encouraging.
Exhortation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Continue. Yeah. How about this side? That's a lot, even in just Romans alone. Yeah. Huh? Financial, giving financial aid.
Like contributing to the needs of others.
Yeah, contributing, yeah. Uh-huh. Contributing to the needs of others. Oh, yeah. Sometimes, you know, they are slapped with a big expense, you know, medical expense sometimes. That is a good way to support. Contributing to the needs. Sometimes you cook, you know, a dish. Mm-hmm. You do that, right?
Soup.
Yeah. A soup, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ginger soup. Mm-hmm. It's cold, you wanna, you know. Anything else? I think we're hungry, huh? Okay. Anything else?
Showing mercy.
Showing mercy, yeah. Where do you do that?
Healing?
Mm-hmm. What's mercy? We hear it a lot, okay? Maybe we don't connect it with mercy, but it is more like acceptance, okay? Even if a person is so bad, you don't give it to him, all right? And that's what God did, right? Uh-huh, and he says, even though you're like that, I'm not going to punish you. Instead, I'm going to give you grace, right? That's mercy. You accept that person no matter what he is like, okay? So you accept him into the fold. Come join our church. Be part of us. Even though you're like that, we accept. Okay? So now you show mercy. What else? That was a good question. Anybody else? Are you now in 1 Corinthians 12?
Yes,
no. Yeah, we need to get into these things. Okay? So we understand, okay, that, you know, you don't have to be a psychologist, okay? Where you are, what you have, okay? This is God's way of doing it. And it's very needed. And God has put the church as the answer to the sufferings, okay? And it's not that you should eradicate it, take it all away, but that you can be the comforter. Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even though you may not be able to change the, you know, circumstances, everything, but you can build that person so that he's renewed daily, and your goal is that he has peace, okay, and then he can live a life that's glorifying to the Lord, okay. So, you understand? And maybe as you are reading and looking at that, you might see yourself, okay, I have this gift, or I can develop this gift, Okay? And it's all part of it. And as a church, we can develop these things in our body. Okay. The last one will be healing, and I would call it the in-depth heart counseling, because you go to the heart. It is more comprehensive, thorough, and detailed. Okay. And it is not something like I just lend you a book. Okay. You really go deeper. Mm-hmm. And that's the biblical counseling. There are two verses that can help us. It says, counsel in a person's heart is like a deep well, but an understanding person draws it out. Okay. So it's deep inside. Mm-hmm. And you need more time. The person should know, but sometimes he doesn't even know, even though it is inside him. Okay. And so the plans, the thoughts of a person's heart is like a deep well. And you need to draw it out. In the Word of God, once again, it says it's a living, active, sharper than any double-edged sword, dividing the soul from spirit. Where does it happen? Inside, right? Okay, dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, speaking of the using the body as an illustration, so that it is able to judge what? Oh, the desires and the heart of a person. Yeah, the thoughts and the desires of a person. Okay, and remember that first video that we saw? Okay, you can see the inside of a person. Okay, what is in the heart? Okay. And therefore, it helps that we learn how to go in depth. Okay, I want to let you go by 12:30. I think some of you have to leave, right? By 12:30. Okay, so this will be the last, I guess. Okay, let's see. Just a little bit. Exercise here before we go. You see faces, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we covered a lot today, but nothing really very, very deep, okay? I hope you, find something helpful, get to know yourself, get to know the church, get to find a certain kind of direction. So let's go back to this, okay? Looking at faces. Let's see, what do we see here? Can you identify the feeling?
Yes?
Yes? the green one. Yes. What's that?
Anxious,
eager, worried. Worry, angry,
anxious,
fear. Oh my. So we all have what? Different interpretation.
The body language.
Yeah. Okay. A second one.
Happy.
Happy? Yeah, happy. Satisfied. Yes. Okay. And then the third one. Easy, huh?
Sad.
Mm-hmm. Lonely.
Allergy.
Good answer. And this one?
Angry.
Angry, upset.
Envy.
Envy. Oh, okay. Envy. This one, the...
Sleepy.
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 He's yawning. Huh? Shock. Okay. And the last one?
Tasty. Hungry.
Confused.
Funny.
Anything else? Huh?
Overwhelmed. No.
Do you do that? Do you do that? No? Okay. Yeah, I guess you got it almost. Yeah. It's very interesting that even if I say I go to Russia today or I go to Cuba and I show them this, probably the answers will be just about the same. Okay? Just meaning our facial expressions are kind of universal.
Yes.
Universal, okay? A person who is happy in Russia and a person who is happy here will have that look. that's what we mean.
Oh.
Yeah, it's almost about the same. Okay, that you're happy, you will not be doing this. Okay? Uh-huh. Unless you have somebody who is more complicated, okay? So that a person might be smiling on the outside, but crying on the inside.
Oh.
Oh, doesn't that happen? Oh, yeah. And then they'll say, oh, I often see him smiling at the church. I didn't know he would commit suicide.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Right? Yeah. So it happens. Okay? So then we want to be more sensitive, mm-hmm, that we are not fooled by the expression of people. Because we kind of know already, I have to show them that I'm happy, and so I'm going to smile. Because if I smile, people will know I'm happy or think I am happy. Isn't it? Okay. So, yeah, and that's, I'm not saying that you should be doubting people. I still want you to think that when you see somebody smiling, then most probably he's happy, okay? Don't keep second-guessing people, okay? I don't want to become a weird person. Yeah. So just to kind of let you know, okay, that yes, we have these universal things, faces. And yeah, when you are smiling or when you are crying and when you are especially if you have more time to for the training, you will be able to differentiate between a true happy look and a false happy look. Yes, 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 yes. Okay? Remember I told you at the beginning that you already have the glasses. You just don't know how to use it.
Yes.
You have the eyes. You just learn how to look on what to look for in order to understand. Do you understand me? Mm-hmm. Okay? So, that's it. You can practice that at home. Okay? Try to be more observant, or you can read some more books on this issue. Okay? And then for later on, if you're interested, I have a training a class to open up. I can let you know so that if you're interested, you can join. Okay?
One book just to recommend for us to just have
one book?
Just one book. just one.
Okay. If you want, you can start with the book of Jay Adams. Okay, that's one of the most basic book. Okay, that is written. Competent to Counsel? Competent to Counsel. Okay. Yeah, Competent to Counsel.
J. Adams.
Okay. You can try to, and he will give you, especially because during that time it's just moving out. Okay. So you can see the differences between secular and then the biblical, and some of the, and he really also tried to get it from the Bible. I think there are authors that have become. Has written books like by Paulison, okay? That's another prolific biblical counselor writing for biblical counseling, okay? So I will end here. And do you have questions that you want to raise? No? All right. Ah, yes.
You mentioned about you had some classes open to church or to public.
Okay, it will be, yes, to anybody.
To anybody.
Yeah.
So do you have any expectation or qualification for the participation? For example, the person submit a Christian or maybe a believer for several years or...
Yeah. Well, it really doesn't matter in the sense that... I wouldn't say it doesn't matter. Of course, the person has to be a believer, okay? As I said a while ago, you have the spiritual life. Okay? You are walking with the Lord. You yourself are walking with the Lord. The basic things, yeah, you have. You believe in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You are living a spirit-filled life. Okay? And I'm not saying that you should be perfect, but you do not have blatant sins. Okay? No major sins. Okay? That you are yourself struggling with. Okay? So that you can learn. But I'm not saying that, because all of us are, you may say, being comforted to comfort others. Okay? So at all times, we all have problems that are going on in our lives. Okay? And then, you are welcome. Okay? You need to be committed. Mm-hmm. You're not afraid of people, touching people, talking to people. Okay? Yes.
How long is the training?
Mm-hmm. I like to, because we are all busy, so we don't want, I would like to give you the basic. Okay? So maybe about 40 hours. Okay, and we could spread it in many different sessions. You also have books to read, and then you have to do the practice. If you don't practice, you'll never know. It's not just in the head. I think you have something, yes.
Yeah, so 40 hours, do you have the date and time?
Not yet.
Location?
Yeah.
So how do we get it?
Oh, I can communicate with Pastor Luke.
Okay. Yeah. You'll be in the area?
Yes, Bay Area. I live in San Leandro.
Oh,
yeah.
Here, better.
Oh. Use here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Thank you for offering your...
Free of charge.
Free of charge. Yeah, I don't need to fly in from LA. I'm just here.
It will be in English, Mandarin, or...
Okay, I do also teach in Mandarin, but I cannot do both in one class.
Okay.
Yeah, if I open a Mandarin class, it has to be just Mandarin. Or English, just English. Yeah. Okay?
So,
but yes.
Where the class be held?
When?
Where?
Oh, he's saying we do it here. Yeah. Nothing specific yet, okay, in the planning stage. Yeah. So it's good for me to know if you're interested. Okay? So if some of you are interested, then I will keep in touch. Yeah. Yes.
You mentioned that either maybe Mandarin or English class, so the material will be, well, for example, for a Mandarin class.
It will be Mandarin. In English, it will be English.
So the content, the material will be in Chinese?
Yes, yes, yes. We have both. Yeah, we have both. So English class, you use English materials, English PowerPoint, okay? Something like that.
Okay.
All right, yes.
Do you need a show?
Oh, you decided now? Okay, for now, if you have some people who are interested. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's good. Wow, a young person there. Very young. Yeah. We need you, okay? In fact, I want you all to be part of it. Okay. So, if it is your ministry and you want to really learn how to do it, the more you learn, the less frustrated you will be. Okay? Because you won't be doing things that you're not supposed to be doing. Yes. Yeah, that's true. Huh? Okay? And I guess the time is up. Maybe we can have someone pray. Who would like to pray? Oh, yeah. Pastor said Audrey. Yeah, commit us to the Lord. Oh, okay. Thank you.
即係一個好 general 嘅一個分享，咁亦都希望即係 after 呢一次之後嘅話，如果你有心智想話繼續 training 嘅話咧，咁可以 sign up with Dr. Wong。